You're live on Purple Haze Radio. Cannabis Lifestyle Radio.
What's up, y'all? How you doing? My name is Amir Zendanam, and you are watching episode 2 of In the Clear with Amir. That's me, if you didn't know that. We are here today with the badass Andrew Pizzicalis. He's going to be joining us, smoking some bowls, talking about some really... I wish it was awesome, but not so awesome things about legalization in California, the atmosphere here, how things are going, and from a federal perspective as well. But before we do that, we have really, really important things to do first, which is take some dabs,
We got to hit some shit for sure.
Let's go.
We got to get into some deep conversation that also entails... a little smoky, of course.
All right, so you just brought us some of this sauce right now. What
queen,
is this,
the
bro?
Queen it smells... mother. This stuff is, when I talk about the top tier of what I don't really dab as much, so you know when I come hang out with you, I got to bring the best.
Dude, that's the thing, man. I'm a daily dabber, and I know he's a daily smoker.
I'm a flower man.
Yeah, and this is...
So if I'm going to get some dabbing going on, I got to have the premium shit, or it ain't worth it.
Yep, this is something that a daily dabber loves to see.
Since we're getting a little dabalicious, why don't we throw a little background? Tiny little bit, or what?
Let's do it, bro.
What do you feel like today?
I'm feeling like, let's see, I've been getting some really good chill stuff on SoundCloud recently. I wonder if this is on there. It's a WDNG, here it is.
WDNG crash?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, and combinations, let's go.
Look at that, we got it.
It's a fun one. All right, here we go.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Nice.
You wanna pass that lighter?
Oh yeah.
Hell yeah. How's your day going?
My day is going so nice. It is such a beautiful day today. I'm so stoked. I just, you know, it's February, just started with February. When the weather just gets like this in LA, it just brings a certain new type of happiness.
For sure.
Me, you know, it's like you just get the energy of the universe coming at you all the time. You don't have to deal with none of that dark shit. Man, this is good, bro. I need to take another dab of this. Some forbidden with some of the sauce.
You know what's funny? I was watching that Pringles commercial that they came out for the Super Bowl.
Uh-huh.
And it's pretty funny. They were like, they're talking about how they have all, you know how Pringles has so many different flavors? Bacon, jalapeno, whatever, this and that, right? So what they ended up doing is they said you can make your own Pringle combo, stack like a bacon with a cheddar and a jalapeno, and then you got yourself your own customized snacky.
That's smart,
right? We gotta apply that theory to something with cannabis.
Ooh. Well,
like almost like how you just had like a forbidden fruit sandwich with mixing it up with something this and that. We gotta come up with something like Pringles did. That was just a way to make stoners just be like, think about how smart that was politically. That was like, yo, guess what? I know you like Pringles. And I know you like to try different flavors, but we're going to make you buy more Pringles because we're going to tell you you want to stack them. So that says, don't go buy one. Go buy three.
Yeah, buy three.
Right? Buy three.
Different ones.
Maybe
a
fourth just to mix it up in the fucking equation. You know what I mean?
And then they will get four because that's what stoners will do.
That's my shout out to Pringles, man. You smart motherfuckers. That's great.
Would you like
I'm glad. I'm glad you're. Yeah, of course. I'm glad that you're at the high noon schedule, because there's got to be somebody keeping people's attention at high noon.
Let's go. Know? This is the time, high noon, guys. Drink your water. Around this time is when you start feeling a little crash. Look what I got here right now.
A little hydration.
Whoa.
And that's why Amir brings a giant gallon.
Literally, is a gallon of water. Every time I come here, I have this big ass thing because it's important. Look, I had this full today. It's done right now. High noon. I'm gonna drink another one of these throughout the day. I try to get about 2 gallons a day, but I'm a high intensity athlete. If you're not engaged in high level athleticism, I'm
a high intensity oil smoker.
There you go. 1 gallon a day, my recommendation if you're a high-intensity oil smoker. High-intensity, if you're doing sports and stuff, try to get 2 gallons, especially if you're working out that day.
That's saucy.
That's saucy, right? Super nice.
Wow, very, yeah. Would you say almost, not citrus, but had almost like a tropical-y kind of flavor?
Yeah.
It's good pairing with the forbidden fruit, I would say.
It is, man. It is, yeah. This is nice and sweet.
Wow. Mm.
Yeah, that's nice sauce.
That got the sinuses going.
No, man, it gets you going. Those coughs really open you up, you know? So I'm doing In the Clear now through Purple Haze Properties, the homies, Andrew Pizzicalis.
Yep.
Very awesome, because a few years back when I was doing my show on another network, I saw what Andrew was doing in the cannabis industry. And if you saw my last episode, you got kind of an understanding of where I've been in my life and what my transition has been into becoming a cannabis entrepreneur, an open public cannabis entrepreneur. And around that time that I was doing a show on a cannabis network, I still wasn't too open about the selling aspect of the product. This guy, though, was.
Oh, yeah.
And I was looking back and I was like, holy shit, man, this guy's doing shit that nobody else is really doing right now. That's sick. One of my friends knew him, so she made the connect, and he came on the show. He brought all these products.
And that was like 2 years ago.
Yeah, it was about two and a half years ago.
Yeah.
So since then, the cannabis industry has essentially just blown up. It's almost like
technology.
Yeah.
I mean, one year you miss, or a year and a half, and you don't update your phone, or you don't do your fucking computer or this, and then you're fucking feel like you're lost.
Yes.
That's what happens if you're not in touch with what's going on with the cannabis industry. And I think it's great that you have your show, you know, to educate people and have an outlet as a... Now, would you fall at 29? Would you fall into the millennial?
Yes. Or how does
that, yeah, okay.
Yeah, so, millennials would be from, I would make the argument of about 1982.
Sure.
And I was 1988, so okay. I'm right in the middle of the millennials. And then, because the millennial is a little weird, you know?
And then they're like breaking apart. Like, this is the hilarious thing. I just read this thing about Generation X, right? And then you had Generation Y, right? But then there was like, now they say there's like a 2 year gap or 3 year gap in between it that you're like called the Xennial or something now.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck is that? The Xennial?
Yeah.
Are they just starting to like pile on groups to fucking just do that for people? What the fuck is that about?
Yeah. And what's funny is like, I'm 29. I know that it's funny because I don't, that subgroup of people, it's about like a 35-year-old today. Because a 35-year-old today was still born in the really early 80s.
Sure.
So their connection is a little closer to Gen Y, but they're still us. You know? So
now,
Gen X.
Now, I thought millennials were more in the 2000, because you have to be over 2000, right? Or now?
No, I would argue that's when it stops. Is when the millennials started, is when the millennial generation becomes kind of something.
So I got you.
So the 18-year-olds
now.
What are people called now then? Is it Gen Y?
Is it Gen Y or those?
No, I thought it was opposite.
No, Gen Y was before.
Okay, well, they have a name.
Yeah,
have
so
a name.
Let's look it up. Yeah. We got computer access. We're multi-talented on these shows here on Dash Radio.
Which generation?
Purple Haze Radio.
Ooh, this is interesting. Okay, alright,
so you actually have the breakdown.
Yeah, there's a whole thing here.
So let's start with the XE, because that's what I'm from.
Okay, the X. Were you born? Okay, so Generation X is the baby bust. That's 1965 to 1979.
Yep, that's me right
there.
That's
you.
Absolutely.
You're a baby bust.
And that means that we broke out of the baby boomer generation. Yes. We were the first generation out of the baby boomer generation. The baby boomer generation was, what is that? That was at that time the largest population of the United States.
Yes.
That there was such a populace of kids that were born during that era that those people dominated and ruled economy, legal,
everything.
This, all the views and everything based around it. And they're almost like, you would say they were in the Sessions age, right? Of Jeff Sessions or no? The boomers, baby boomers before me.
I think
I'm talking about, right?
I think Jeff Sessions is one before that.
Before that even. Yeah. So that's even fucking worse.
Yeah, worse, okay? Even worse. Yeah, so, and that's they call them the silent generation from 1925 silent. To 45.
Yeah, oh yeah, he's for sure in that
it's
one.
Like 40 absolutely. Something. Yeah, yeah, no, no, yeah.
So when you think about how that thing fucking charts out, it's actually pretty crazy because they fell into all the different things that they had to believe in this because of no technology, because you were told whatever you were told, and that's what you were told.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? And now, like, people are like, what the fuck now? Because, like, there's so much voice and things you can learn about in Google and, you know, whatever, but my generation, the X generation, was the one coming out of it that got to get a different sense of, I don't have to live my life and believe what my dad did or my mom did or my grandfather or my grandfather's grandfather that was a bigot or a fucking racist or was like just totally so openly fucking those generations, my God. You know it. You know all you guys out there have somebody in those generations.
The grandparents,
where you're like, God damn, man, what the fuck did you just say? You know, holy shit, that, blah, 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 what? Oh, my God, right?
You're like, yo, you can't say that, dude. Yeah, where like, you, yo.
Where
you
get, where the my generation, the Generation X, would kick your ass over it. That's the difference. Yeah. We beat you down over it because we were fighting for trying to, like, get people to think not like that. You know what I'm saying? But that's because we got Atari and we got technology started coming.
Yeah.
And we were starting to get it. We were young enough to, like, play those games and this and understand that there was something more complex. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. The baby boomers were saying kind of know with like the hippie generation and things like that, but then it was you guys that, for the first time we're like what the fuck,
why persecute these people, what the fuck, and actually you know what, we can live a metro version of it, like, and that became a kind of craze, like we dabbled our generation in getting a little hippie, loosening up a little bit, you know.
And now you see the kids these days, man. And then
let's again go through then the next after Gen X was Gen Y.
We have the Xennials.
Well, the Xennials, and then the Y.
That is 1975 to 85, but there's an overlap what you were talking about because Gen Y, the Millennials, and Gen Next.
Gen Next is Gen Y. I don't know why they call it Next. That was kind of, maybe because they wanted to recategorize it or whatever, but the next generation of X, right?
Yeah.
That's what I considered back then what they called the Y generation.
Damn, man. Yeah.
And then from Y, and then they went to, well, now they came out with Xennial as a new stupid thing, but before they recategorize that, it just went right to Millennial.
Yeah, see, this is weird because Gen Y and Xennials, you're right, there's a very small crossover, so it shouldn't
look at the years. Yeah. Wait, just look at it.
Yeah, they're crossovers.
Baby boomers, is like, what's the span of baby boomers? Is like fucking 30, 40 years. Like, what is the baby boomer span?
Baby boomers is 20 years, 1946 to 1964.
20 year span of one generation, right?
Yeah.
Then go to X. how many years were in the span of that generation?
That's 14 years.
Only. Yeah, and then why did they start going down?
And then 10 years, now, you 14 understand? Years, yeah. Dude,
why is it getting less?
12 years.
Why? Because those populaces are getting a general understanding of life.
Yeah. They move faster. The generation gaps are moving faster.
Yeah, that's a great... Isn't that cool to notice that?
That's and awesome, that, bro.
Until we just threw that up, you never know. And even with two motherfucking stoners who took some dabs, and now I'm not even high enough, we got to fucking smoke some more.
I know, bro. We got to do it again,
We got to smoke some more, because then we'll come up with some more genius realizations right there.
Here.
We got we got all kinds. I got a hot... Just try. It's like the random pick of awesome.
All right.
Take this big giant one right here.
Hell yeah.
One of them's a banana. I had like a banana, sour banana fucking thing that's real great. And then a bunch of different other flavors that I've picked up that I quite enjoy. But yeah, it's interesting because all the different, and getting like into the whole reason why we got into this whole conversation is when I started the station, it was important not to just categorize, but I wanted to create music and concerts and education for everybody, for all generations to take out of however they want to take out of it. Do you know what I'm saying? So to talk about the radio station in a political sense and why I think it's a great concept is that stoners listen to all kinds of music, so we have all those different zones. People like to hear different topics from different people. I mean, I am an older motherfucker, so I don't know how many people want to listen to me or not, but
I want to listen to you.
I appreciate that, but I want younger people to have shows because they have an interesting voice. You know what I'm saying? And I think that that has a very important effect. And the millennials are like 4 or 5 times bigger than the baby boomers.
Yeah.
I guess Generation X wasn't getting so fucking wild populating, but that's because they scared the fuck out of us about AIDS and this that shit during my generation.
It was
like,
it was end of my...
They kind of like scared off sex. And then like when everybody kind of realized a little bit of it was a little bit too much crazy fucking hype, the millennials, you know, they're getting all kinds of sexy out there, especially with all this technology and crazy shit.
Do you have a little deboller?
There's my bowl, and we'll get a little deboling. I'll go grab something real quick.
Sick. So I'm just gonna complete this because this is really interesting. I've never actually looked into this for the exact dates, but the millennials are 1980 to 1994, which does make sense. Gen or Gen Z, it's 95 to 2012. And then Gen Alpha, 2013 to 2025.
Gen Alpha?
Yeah, the youngest age today is a 1-year-old, and a 5-year-old is
okay,
the highest.
Okay, so my daughter is 2.5, and I just had a new baby, and they're called what? Gen Alpha?
Gen Alpha.
Oh, shit.
They're the new generation, man.
They're straight up
the new generation.
I like that, though.
Yeah.
It's like they almost wanted to start all over again.
It's
kind of weird.
Yeah.
So you think the next will be Gen Beta, and they'll literally go up?
Yeah, it should,
Isn't that wild to realize that we live through a time though that it's changing and that they're really, really categorizing shit like that? That think technology and things are gonna be so diverse that you said what? The gap is only 5 years.
Yeah.
Look at what they realized in the generational growth. That's fucking crazy. The baby boomers, they said, you know what? We didn't even want to figure out that generation. Yeah. We'll let them fucking be that way for 20 fucking years, right? And then the X's evolved in, you know, how less of a span? Like a few years under that, what I'm saying?
A few years under, and then like it jumps, but the jump for millennials, it says Gen Y, millennials, Gen X, and then that's 14 years, but then it jumps down again.
But now the new system... is 5 years. They said 1 to 5 years is Generation Alpha.
So the oldest age today would be a 5-year-old, and then the youngest age today would be a 1-year-old.
But who knows if they're going to change it after that. What I'm trying to say is, it's very possible that they've already chosen that 1 to 5 will be that alpha generation.
Yeah, yeah.
And that generations and technology and genetics and all these things move so rapidly that you actually are going to label generations in a much smaller rate because things are going to change so differently that their experiences will change how they think, how they do things.
Yeah, man. I mean, think about it. Like, if Gen Z... Okay, so we grew up... So you grew up with your Ataris.
Yeah.
I grew up with, like, a Nintendo and then a Nokia phone.
Yeah.
This generation grew up with these.
I had a pager, maybe.
Yeah, a pager.
When I was,
pager.
Like, towards high school. Yeah. Towards high school, right?
That's crazy. That's so crazy. I had, like, AOL cellular 3.0, phone.
Yeah,
you know?
Dude, I had... Like, you want to freak out before even AOL was... The very first internet program was called Prodigy.
Yeah. Damn.
Prodigy.
Damn. See, that's right?
And that's like the 80s.
Yeah. You had to like know how to program to use that kind of shit.
I had the very first, they had Odyssey, which was the very first game that was out. And then I had this thing called ColecoVision.
I've heard of that.
Right.
Yeah,
and then ColecoVision
yeah.
turned into Sega and became all the Sega Master Systems and Genesis and all that shit, right?
Damn.
And I had Intellivision. They had, which was the competitor to ColecoVision, and you had these paddles with these numbers and shit on it, and you thought that that was like the craziest shit in the world. And then Atari came out, and then they came out with the first kind of computers. There was a Texas.
Bro, so you're before Atari generation.
Yeah, there was,
you know?
A Texas Instrument.
Yeah, the calculators.
They made a computer. They actually had a computer. And then Atari came out with their own computer, the Atari 800, right? And then after that, Commodore 64 came out.
Damn.
You know, and I remember all those, like, programs and games. And they used to have magazines to, like, write your own little codes and shit like that. And, yeah, that's what I grew up on, that shit. And seeing it go from now to fucking holograms, that's insane.
Yeah, virtual reality, augmented reality.
That's insane.
That's what Gen Alpha is gonna grow up on.
Oh yeah, they're not gonna understand.
Yeah, they're gonna be like, these big ass cell phones. Like, what is this?
You guys drove your car? What? People drove their cars like for real. By the time they're old enough to drive, for sure.
Yep.
10-15 years from now,
yeah.
Motherfuckers, we're not. Everybody loves Uber.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to get in accidents. Nobody wants to get in all that shit. When everybody could just get in their fucking car and drive for you, you know we all gonna do that shit. Yeah. That's for sure.
There's a cryptocurrency out right now that's trying to monetize. I can't think of the name at the top of my head, but they're trying to monetize self-driving cars to essentially be their own drivers. And this is one of the visions that I have for the future too, is that a lot of these virtual reality things, the AI that we have is going to be their own human leader of sorts, their own business.
Yeah.
And we're going to be paying them through cryptocurrencies and they set their prices, they do their things.
And they could try to do that, but that's never going to happen. I mean, everybody's coming up with kind of crazy. You think you're going to take on Google or this or any of these guys that are already doing automated deals and Uber? You know?
They're going to buy them out. Yeah. That's what they're going to do. You know?
You ain't going to last long.
Yeah.
And if it's good, they're going to get it.
They're going to buy it for you.
Yeah. And that's the thing we always enjoy about politics. You know what I'm saying? Is that things can always sway in all kinds of different ways, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm hoping, truthfully, that, you know, a lot of changes are going to happen, even with Jeff Sessions trying to fuck with things. I really think there's too much stuff going on, too much money being made in the States, and Cali is not going to put up for that shit. You're talking about 55 electoral votes. Talking about a big sway of people making a big difference and billions of dollars coming into these states. You know, and you have, shout out to, I heard there's many laws out now. One that's hopefully at the top of the list that's supposed to just knock out cannabis from even being scheduled at all, right?
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. There is a bill. There have been multiple bills like this in the past to deschedule cannabis. Hopefully this one works. But another, there are lots of big things happening in California. The governor, there's a governor candidate. He urged the creation of a public bank for cannabis businesses. This only happened a few days ago. It's California's state treasurer, actually. So he's running for governor right now. Also, the attorney general of California has also said that they want to create some kind of banking. What's up, guys? Create some kind of a public banking service that the state of California regulates that would allow cannabis businesses to put money in their banks, but then I'm like, ah.
So, but that's kind of is a failed thing, though, right? It didn't happen.
No, this only, he just said it.
Well, yeah, he said that would be part of, once it would do it, it'd be able to get banking regulations. But do you think that this has more of a chance now because of the House being differently? You know how there's a lot of like,
well, swing. The state of California has essentially come out against the Trump administration in every corner, cannabis being one of their main ones, immigration being another one of them, but they've essentially come out and said there is a bill in the California Senate that hopefully will be passed soon that says that the state of California will not comply with any federal regulations with cannabis.
Now, do you think that credit unions and other banks that are in the state of California are going to be like, hey, guys, you know, you want to bring your money over?
I hope so.
Over to me, because, you know, I myself, we don't actually manufacture or do anything, and I'm a wonderful radio station talking about cannabis and doing all this stuff. And I'll openly say that Wells Fargo recently said that I have to close my accounts because of association with cannabis.
Damn.
And I also had the same thing happen 3 years ago with Citibank. So even though we don't, just because we're associated and promote and do the stuff that we do, that I can't even put the money that we make honestly with contracts and this and stuff we do, that they have to tell me that my money isn't good.
Damn.
Like that's fucked up.
That's fucked up, man.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That just shows you how crazy shit is. And all these places, Colorado, Washington, everything else, like these places all have all these piles of cash. And then when they go to pay the taxes, they're literally going in there, putting piles of fucking money on the tables to pay their bills.
Yeah.
That's unsafe, too.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that you got to sit on it because you can't bank it. That's fucking horrible.
And you're sitting duck all the time, essentially. You know, you have to hire your own security services.
You
got to
do all these things. You have to feel worried. And then you're almost creating an underground black market when everybody wants to actually do it legally.
Yes.
Nobody cares about paying the taxes because there's plenty of money to be made by everybody. Everybody's making billions of dollars. Yeah. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of things that you have to consider, right? When you...
Yeah, man. Like I said in my last episode, I was like, I will comply with you if you just let me. Just put the paperwork there.
Sure.
Tell me how much money I owe you.
Yeah.
If you won't kick down my damn doors.
Exactly.
Just, you know,
exactly.
Like, just give me the option. And they don't even give us the option. Yeah, That's the problem.
And the thing is that at least there's a shout out to Proposition 64, even though it's good and bad. You got to give it the props that every single person in the state and a lot of these other states are allowed to now grow weed.
Yeah.
They can grow six plants. You can put it out and see what this beautiful plant can do, you know, and all the wonderful things that it does and heals. And if you can't afford to go into these dispensaries, right, you have different options, you know. Let's change out the little beat today. Let's throw something else.
What you got?
Let me
throw it out there for us.
You know what it is? Because we have so many concerts, so many different things. I got to think to myself, what's in the good mood of
what
all the of the politicalness that we got going on today? What do I have in my brain?
You know, something chill.
What do I feel
chill.
Like? Let's see. Let me see.
We're
going to
it.
My.
Yeah, you know, we one of the big things that any cannabis entrepreneur has really been dealing with the last few months is trying to, as we're talking about, just navigate the waters of how to be a legal company in a atmosphere where they tell you that you can be legal, and then everything that you do around that is somehow illegal, and then you try to get this license for that, and you can, and you want to do that, try to put your money here, but you can't. So essentially, we're all sitting there. You know, people will pay their taxes. You know, I have my own view on taxes, and I don't care. If that means that people won't take me from my house, I will pay you whatever I need to. Again, they literally don't give us the ability to do so. And now the issue is, with legalization, the way that I look at it is that they made a claim that it would open up this market for us, but in reality, it's closed up the market more. I heard a story.
But that's also, you gotta look at it. If you're gonna try to regulate a fucking place that for 20 years lets you just walk in, right? To any doctor, 20 minutes, you fucking walk out, and then you could go pair up with 100 different guys, and then some counties like, yeah, you could grow 99 plants per person. That's okay. We won't fuck with you. And motherfuckers are growing thousands and thousands of plants the past 20 years, and then huge raids went on, buzz, seizures. Shout out to Eddie Lepp, you crazy motherfucker. When I used to go onto your farm and you decided to put 40,000 plants on your property on the highway, right? And you had enough patience for 20,000, but you're like, fuck it. You know, every year it'd be like he'd either have his thing and pop it off for the patients, or the government would raid it and he would sue them. So like there were so many back and forth cases, and then Eddie, you know, in the end, He's a wild motherfucker, and you know he spent 10 years in prison. Recently, he came out, and shout out to you. Hope you're doing well. But yeah, there's a lot of martyrs that went through the 20-year reign. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of people that got to do everything they did. So everybody fought as long as they can. So props to everybody who had their time to enjoy that for sure.
Yeah. You know? And the martyrdom will still continue, which is
absolutely
the shitty part.
Absolutely,
you know?
Even me.
Yeah.
I go put this fucking thing up.
Yep.
Rolling the dice.
Yeah. You straight know? Up.
Yeah, yeah. For
we're
sure.
gambling here right now, man. We're like, yeah, we do white market cannabis. These government motherfuckers are like, yeah, right, bitch. We're just getting ready for all of you right now, you know?
But I do, you know, being political, you can't also go and bash either.
Yeah.
And you gotta just educate. And shout outs to, even though there are a lot of people that don't like the gentleman, but Dana Rohrabacher, you know, I met him. He's a nice guy. Took a couple of photos with him, and he put that amendment out to try to help
yes.
the patients
you
and
know,
block
what's
things.
Funny is I've worked with him and his people in the Republican Party, and...
Yeah, we were at this private dinner. We were at this private dinner.
Where the doors closed.
Yeah, we're at this private dinner. And we were all investor cannabis thing. And then they had on a big screen, they go, Dana Rohrabacher's gonna pop on and Skype on with everybody. And he was like, I could tell he was like tanked or something, coming out of a party, Skyping, fucking telling everybody all this shit. And I was like, you know what, fuck it. Thanks, man, for like having the balls to like try to do something. Cause just like him, somebody's gotta be the martyr, right?
Yep.
Because then you sue and you battle and this and things change. But it sucks that you got to go through all that. You know, pain, sweat, of all kinds of stuff. It doesn't matter what industry it is. Any emerging industry, you're going to have all that savageness that goes down. You know?
Yeah, you know, the thing with... The reason, you know, I was talking about it on my last episode, but the reason I decided to leave politics instead of going into higher politics is because essentially you have to compromise like somebody like Dana Rohrabacher if you want to get to the highest levels.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know, you could talk about drugs every once in a while, but, you know, you're still a conservative Republican and the majority of things you say... still has to feed your base.
Sure.
But you know, oh, you know, Dana Rohrabacher, you know, it's he goes out, he's like, yeah, I used to do acid and stuff when I was younger, but I'm a politician now, so I, you know, but it's cool, you know.
Yeah,
so it's,
but
like,
you know what, I'd rather have somebody who tried it and didn't
exactly.
like it and said whatever, because that means he was open-minded.
Exactly.
And that's something that's important for a politician, because some of them aren't very open-minded. They're very tunnel visioned, right?
Oh yeah.
Set to their agendas, right?
And, you know, the thing about cannabis is that politicians, especially Republican ones now, are swaying towards us because it's profitable. So you see the people who were there for more moral reasons, then you're like, nice job, bro. Nice job.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
I see you.
And his agenda was to know he's going to go after big pharma and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But I do feel, you know, that there are people that are choosing to do what they do because they have relationships with big pharma. Talking about multi-billion dollar industry. You got Xanax, you got painkillers, you got aspirin, you got anti-inflammatory, you got bone stimulants, you got all the cancer,
blood pressure,
PTSD, yeah. Neuropathy. All these things, you can get a similar medical healing from that plant that you could put that seed in the ground in the six that you're allowed, and literally just make enough to sustain yourself, you know, for half a year or a year, depending on how you, if you just wanted it as a medical type thing, you could do your six plants and you for sure would have enough for to last you a year. To make some edibles, make some oil, have some flour, you know, use it as a medicine, and then not have to maybe even take some of that stuff, because if I'm not correct, all of those different places, now what has happened? Opiate addictions went down like 30%, right?
Crime rates went down, violence went down. Like, surprise!
You know, and all these
weed
berries,
makes you more
and then people
nice,
didn't
want to
take these other drugs because they have a lot worse of a tolling effect on the body than cannabis does.
Yeah, right? Cannabis doesn't have harmful physical side effects unless it's sprayed with some bad chemicals.
Yeah, pesticides and this and all this other stuff. But that's the one thing, again, good about 20 years of all the shit you got into the dispensaries and everything that's taken and smoked and this and that. You can't think that all that shit you're smoking is clean.
Yeah.
You know, there are people that are trying to make profit too. So you got people that are sketchy and people that aren't, and you don't really necessarily know sometimes what exactly you're smoking. But because of the regulations, now they're really tightening up on pesticide, molds, this, all these variants, where if you ain't fucking growing the fucking best shit, you're not going to get it into the dispensaries, and then people aren't going to buy it. So at least that regulating means that they're making sure that we get to smoke if we buy it from a dispensary and pay the tax and pay all that shit to get in there and buy it, that at least it's for sure the best, you know, of what we could smoke or have for ourselves and not be worried about what else is in it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. And one of the things when I was on your show a few weeks ago, what the awesome thing is that the government, all they had to do was come in and say, well, what are the industry standards right now? The industry standard is organic, no pesticide, it has to be clean, you know, and then the government essentially came over and then took those regulations. So the good thing about emerging industries is that the faster we can set our standards, government just comes in and they take those. So good. If you want to take our standards, that's better than you making your own.
Exactly.
You know, because if you had to, if they had to go make their own standards,
yeah.
Just look at food. It would all be sprayed, all be poisoned. Yeah.
So we talked about that. Yeah. We talked about that. You said that the weed industry actually is going to have a tighter already rule, let's say, than a lot of the other foods and things that we eat and shit that we use to clean our house or this or
we
products
have
that
standards.
We buy. Yeah.
It's the highest. I make the argument that the cannabis industry's standards for health and cleanliness and wellness are much higher than the food industry. It's not an argument. I mean, just saying organic, no pesticide, you can't go to one grocery store and find that anywhere. You go to Whole Foods and go ask the person, do you have anything without pesticides here? They'd be like, what the fuck do you mean? All the food has pesticides. They're just organic pesticides. You tell that to us.
So wait, explain that to me, because I got confused there for a second.
So check it out. if you grow weed, you can grow...
Go back to the food part.
So you can't go to a grocery store and get food the same quality as we prefer our cannabis. Because
no, but I got that. Yeah. But explain that you're saying that all food has pesticides all on it.
All food has some kind of
organic... break that down.
So organic does not imply no pesticide. So the standard now for labeling has to say, if it says organic... it should say no pesticides as well, but no food says that. I've seen one bottle of coconut water on the market that says organic and no pesticides. And that's the first time I ever saw that on the market, in the food market. And I was in the food industry for a few years too, so I've been very conscious of labels, and because that's just not the standard. Because you can have USDA approved organic, but you still use pesticides. They're just organic pesticides.
Sure.
So, and if you've grown cannabis, you know that you can get organic pesticides, but they're still not good. Yeah. It's just organic.
So,
you know?
So stuff that isn't even organic, you're saying that shit's all fucking sprayed and worse even?
Well, see, that's the crazy thing. If the organic foods are sprayed with these shittier pesticides, then these fools have to wear masks and full body suits when they're going into the non-organic fields. You've seen them with like the big white suits.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Like, they have to wear...
So
you're telling me if you went to one of those big like vegetable, fucking giant vegetable farms, and you're telling me that if you went to go roll on the tour, just like you go on a wine tour, that they'd be like, oh, hold on. You got to wear a fucking wild suit to go around. Is that maybe not to contaminate yourself? Do you think, it's really to avoid the chemicals that they're spraying?
When these guys are, the chemicals that they're spraying are so harmful that they have to wear these suits.
Yeah, see, he's Googling that shit.
So that's
and
like...
these fucking guys looks like alien
like,
movies.
Look at these guys, you know? It's like, seriously, masks. Why do you have to...
Oh, look at this. With a biohazard...
Like, why you gotta
wear
that?
With a biohazard fucking thing. It's not even like, slip on the white thing to be careful you don't infect nothing. This motherfucking thing has a biohazard mark on the suit when they're fucking spraying the crops. That is just... It says how Monsanto's... What does it say? Roundup?
Unleashes chemical violence. Yeah, it's usually a lot of the big GMO fields and stuff because they use the worst pesticides with the GMOs keep them alive and strong.
So that's just to make
But that's not just the GMOs, because the same Roundups that they use to spray in corn, they're using in vegetables and stuff too. So, for example... this is the thing about the food industry. You have to go look into every food and then go look into all those specific industries. So strawberries, for example, there is no such thing as an organic strawberry, because every strawberry field sprays their fields with a non-organic pesticide in the soil before they plant the strawberries.
See, now this is interesting, because I go to a farmer's market, right? And when you said that, I had asked the guy, hey, is your, you know, because I try to get for my daughters, you know, like I want them to, you know, if it's organic at least or better, you know, it's in that mindset, try to at least get the healthiest thing I can get her. So one guy was like, well, he goes, we don't spray with any pesticides or whatever and stuff like that. And I was like, well, that's interesting. Like that, to me, that sounded, I guess, just as good, right? Or no?
No, because they spray the soil. So if you grow cannabis, you know that spraying the soil is not good for the plant.
So you're saying that was just a mind fuck? He just like said that to me knowing, I sprayed the soil, or no?
The only way that it could have been good is if it was an heirloom strawberry. So you always have to ask them. And
look at you. You're the fucking... heirloom strawberry.
You have to ask them those words.
You just say strawberry.
Bro.
He goes heirloom
strawberry. It has to be heirloom. If it's not an heirloom strawberry, you already know that the soil was sprayed to get the strawberry to grow in that certain way.
Wow,
so
man.
I was in the food industry, and I have yet to see an heirloom strawberry.
You're fucking me up now.
So ask that guy next time. Be like, yo, bro, is it heirloom though?
Yeah, he ain't gonna know that shit. He'll look at me like I have 40 heads. He goes, yo, this motherfucker called me out.
It's like, you know, when you're at a shop or something, you call the buttender out and they're like, oh fuck, man, they got me. Like, you're right. This is
Some of the buttenders know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Some of them don't give a shit.
Don't give a shit. This is the fire, bro.
This is the fire.
Get this
fire
shit,
of desire.
Yeah, but
and how do you end up knowing what to smoke?
You gotta. You know what the thing is? This is another thing about the cannabis industry. As a former bud tender, you essentially should trust them and go to shops where you can trust. Because
did you take a lot of pride as a bud tender?
A lot. Yeah.
You did, huh?
Yeah. Because I was helping people cure cancer.
What place were you rocking at? Let's give a shout out to one of your
Shout out to Exhale Med Center in West Hollywood. Check them out. They're the dopest shop in West Hollywood.
Are they still around?
They're still around. They're Yeah. Check them out on the corner of Santa Monica and La Cienega. There are a lot of shops in that area, but Exhale is, check them out. They're really smart, you know, because
that's cool.
The thing that I noticed the most was that people were always coming to us and saying that we don't go to all those other shops because you care about us. Sure. And I was like, man, that sucks. All these other butt tenders don't care about you. These people would come in. It's all about the care, because the thing that I would do is like, all right, that flower comes in. When that vendor comes in, I'm stopping that flower. I'm like, yo, bro, how'd you grow that?
Sure.
And then I don't let that guy go until he's answered every question the way I want. If he doesn't, I'm going to tell the patients. I'm going to be like, he only told me this and this. Sounds kind of shady. I don't know. You can get it if you want. I wouldn't recommend it, though.
I got you.
It's all about that kind of honesty. A lot of bud tenders don't understand that kind of... They don't know anything about weed. We were just saying. A lot of them don't care. They're just like, yeah, this is good weed. It looks good. It smells good. Just get it. They don't care about what was sprayed in it.
There's always one... One in the shop, though.
Yeah.
You always got to scout the one that works there that truly loves the herb. Because in every dispensary, you always got that homie, that's for sure. You know what I mean? Absolutely.
They would say, they would put $50 on the table and say, Amir, pick for me.
Absolutely.
Say, thank you so much.
Absolutely.
You know, that's the way you got to do it. So, it's a... What time is it?
We're probably getting close to the end for sure.
Yeah. But, one of the things that I wanted to talk about a little more is what you think the coming few years are going to look like in cannabis in America and abroad. Because the way I look at it is we need to get out of America and start spreading this shit everywhere else.
I think it is spreading all over. I think we're really focused on what we're doing here. And I think it's important to focus because this is like... an emerging time, you know what I mean? Like, this is the time. It's still you're still in the gold rush, the green rush. You're still in that period, you know, because it's not descheduled.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When that happens, then all the big boys are gonna come in and do their thing. So you got a few years left. You guys out there in your cars listening to us on Purple Haze Radio, on Dash Radio, Cannabis Lifestyle Radio Station. And all the different things that we got going on, and check out and enjoy your show here on Wednesdays, right?
Wednesdays
at high noon.
In the clear with Amir.
In the clear with Amir, and we got Charlo Green in the Weed Show. You know that famous Alaskan reporter that quit on air and said, "Fuck it, I quit, and I'm gonna open up a dispensary in Alaska." And then the state wasn't too happy with her response and came and raided that place. And you know she's facing some time in jail and stuff, but until that all gets figured out and sorted down, she's up there on High Noon on Tuesdays and Thursdays, so check her out starting up, and she's gonna be telling you some news and events. And then we have on 4:20 a.m., 7:10 a.m., and 4:20 p.m. our cannabis talk shows with my show, The Wake and Bake Show, that airs on Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and Sundays at all those times. And then we also have Pony Boy in the Puff Tuff Show, and he is on Mondays and Fridays, so catch him all day. And then on Wednesday, we got the Jason Brown Legacy Show, godson, grandson of soul of the late great legend James Brown.
Hell yeah, man. And it's my pleasure to have my show here. It's been a pleasure to have you on. Andrew Pizzicalis, the man behind all this. Thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you, my brother.
We will see y'all next week.
Hell yeah.
In the clear with Amir. Check me out Wednesdays, High Noon. And check us out on Dash Radio for more Purple Haze properties. Purple Haze Radio.
Thanks, man.
It's the shit. There's a lot of really, really good stuff here. Check us out.
Hell yeah.
We'll see y'all soon.
Peace.
Much love. Take some deep breaths.
Thanks,
drink your
man.
Water. Love y'all.
Oh, yeah.
You're live on Purple Haze Radio. Cannabis Lifestyle Radio.